Anna Marie Russo is our biblical counselor here at Grace Bible Church, and we're just so blessed to have her. And many times we're having different conversations about theology, about philosophy of ministry, about counseling, different items that she comes across regularly. And so we decided to start some segments to put out on a podcast that would help those that maybe aren't able to make it to church, and this will touch hopefully a bunch of different lives. So the question that we're thinking about this morning is, what does God think of me? So Anna Marie, you were pointing at, you were looking a little bit at Psalm 139, and then you brought me back when we were talking about it to Genesis 1. So could you reiterate some of your thoughts concerning what do you believe God thinks of us, and what are those scriptures, and your thoughts concerning those matters?
Well, God has great thoughts about us. When He, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had this incredible conversation that they wanted us to be created in their image and in their likeness. And so they decided, this is what they wanted more than anything, that we would be part of the same relationship that they have. And so they created mankind in His image, in His likeness, in their image, in their likeness. You know, the triune God, perfectly, harmoniously, three in one. And so He has incredible thoughts about us that we do not know. And they're not their individual thoughts about us. They're thoughts concerning Mark Meyer. They're thoughts concerning Anna Marie Rizzo. But they're also thoughts concerning the entire world, every single human being in the world. This is what God thinks about us. And King David appends it for us in Psalm 139. And we'll look at verse 17 and 18. And it says, perhaps we'll start at 15. He says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery." It talks about our beginning in the womb, but actually we didn't begin in the womb. We begin in the heart of God, in the mind of God, way back before creation. God wanted us to be born. And it says that God's eyes, they saw our unformed substance. What does that look like? A little speck of the DNA or of a membrane? He saw that. And in His book, He wrote all the days of our lives before not one of them was ever lived by us. So even before I was born, even before I was in my mother's womb, God knew me so completely that He wrote the details in his book. Then verse 17 says, "How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them." It's impossible to number the thoughts that God has about us, for us, and they're all good thoughts, because we are created in His likeness, in His image. And even though Adam fell and his life was marred with sin and death came in with sin, it never wiped out God's initial plan that we would be one with Him, and He made it possible to reconcile that miraculously, beautifully, when Jesus came in the flesh.
And you had touched on also the fact that, and this isn't narcissistic.
This is all inclusive. God knows every single individual in the entire world. No one is left out. But we may not know how great God's thoughts are about us. And that's the good news, that God is very high opinion of you. You are in His heart, in His mind, every single human being. No one is removed from God. There is no distance between God and His creation.
And so that should help in issues like depression and other issues that you're dealing with. You're dealing with a lot of broken people. They will come in, and usually they're coming in at a point in their life that they've maybe experimented with a bunch of things, or they're like you know, you use the term broken, but they've got an idea about God of utter condemnation. I heard a friend one time say that when he was thinking, or he is talking about the fact that a group of young people were asked by a speaker, okay, I don't want you to think about this too much. I want you to react immediately after I ask you this question. And he asked the question, he goes, if God made a face toward you and looked at you right now, what would that face look like? And he said, way above 80% of the room, it was an angry face. It was a face that said, I am so disappointed in you. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing that a lot in your counseling, mm-hmm. aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's not it's not truth. The truth about God is that if you took a glance at God and he was looking towards you, you would see an incredible smile and arms wide open with an embrace towards you, mm-hmm. without any criticism, without any questions being asked about your past, because God through Jesus has already paid for the sin of Adam and every single human being. The debt is paid. There's nothing left except for us to know that God, the debt is paid, and God is not angry with us. To the contrary, God has never changed his mind concerning us way from the beginning. Never. God does not change. And God does not lie.
Do you think the reason that they may feel that way is there's a lot of believers that are kind of trying to help God along because they are angry. Maybe the fact that they don't get to have the fun in sinning that some of these other people do, and they kind of deserve the fact that they're broken, some of them. And it's almost like the disciples, when they saw that man born blind, right away they went to, whose fault is this? So, you know, was it him? You know, did he sin in the womb? You know, it's like, and how do you sin in the womb? But, you know, and I know we're made in our, when we're conceived, even David says that. But the fact of knowing that God has this receiving, loving face as opposed to this bitter, angry, old man face,
right.
Boy, that would make a difference in how I approach him. And I know I approach him in Christ, but it's, mm-hmm. it's just one of those things where the initial thing is I don't want to show up and talk to somebody mm-hmm. that is eternally mm-hmm. mad at me.
Right. Yeah. And this is exactly why Jesus, one of the reasons that Jesus came, there are many reasons that Jesus came, which, by the way, it's God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He came to demonstrate to us the Father. Mm-hmm. From in the Old Testament, we didn't know him as Father.
Right.
We knew him as God. This God who was impeccable in integrity and who gave the Ten Commandments and said, these are my standards of living. And now, you go ahead and you keep them. And then, but if you don't, you'll be cursed. And if you do, you'll be blessed. And certainly, quickly we discover that if we live life without him, and intimacy with him, we can't keep
the
Ten Commandments.
No way.
And so we feel alienated. We feel we are disappointed with us.
Yeah.
And others are disappointed with us. So we take this big disappointment that is self-disappointment and disappointment from family members or clergy or church or youth group leaders or religion, and we pile it on us and we transfer it. God must be mad at me. And then we couple with our life experiences. And if our life experiences are negative and they're catastrophic, and we go, well, see, God, if he's such a big God, he could change all this.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Right.
Obviously, the conclusion is he couldn't care less about me.
Mm.
And that is the farthest from the truth.
Yeah.
That God loves us so much that he withheld nothing. Not even himself, but he came in the flesh to experience, he experienced all the pain that we experience. He knows all about us. And more important than that, does he not only know all about us so intimately, but it would benefit us if we knew him intimately. And so that's our journey, to get to know him as intimately as he knows us, and to just kind of like throw off all the ideas that come from our own ideas, from our own life experience. Ideas from our parents, ideas from our tutors. And not that all those ideas were all wrong, but those that were wrong, those that were not representing God as this loving Father, we can shed them.
Yeah.
And we can take the good of what our parents taught us.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents taught us to love, and let's love God and love each other, because that's really the purpose why we're here.
Psalm 139, Genesis 1. And Anna-Marie, there may be somebody here listening, and what they need right now is somebody to pray for them. Would you pray concerning the fact that, what does God think of me? And would you pray for that individual today?
Father, I pray for everyone that is hearing this message, and I pray specifically for that one who feels lost and unloved and unwanted and left out. Father, I pray that you will open their eyes to see the beauty that you created in them and how valuable they are to you, that they may hear the words that they have, that your thoughts concerning them are great thoughts, good thoughts for hope and a life that is full of future blessings. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.